Baruchot haba'ot, ladies, and welcome to another edition of Torah Anytime. I'm so happy that you're tuning in, and I hope that you've had a wonderful Shabbat Nachamu, and that you're going to have an amazing Shavua Tov. Today, I want to delve into a subject that we haven't yet embarked upon. It's not easy to discuss matters that concern a person's makeup or how he emotionally functions in his life. It's certainly not easy to speak about the various midot that all of us need to perfect in order to function as civilized humans and as Jews, but I felt it necessary for us to take at least one class every so often to discuss some traits that could be potentially harmful. Today we're going to discuss the power of midot. Now, when we discuss a person's midot, we're referring to his character traits, more specifically his spiritual and emotional qualities or deficiencies. A midah could be a positive midah, and a midah could be a negative midah, a midah ra'ah. In either case, the word midah signifies a trait in a person's characteristic, which is either decent or unpleasant. But the word midah has another meaning. Midah also means a measurement. Many of us learned that one way in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu deals with this world is midah keneged midah. Simply put, this means measure for measure. That means that there's a mirror reflection between your actions or lack of them. And the response from Shamayim with regards to that very action is also the mirror reflection. You smile, you get smiled at. You frown, you're frowned upon. You do a chesed, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does a chesed with you. You cause someone pain, the same decree will be issued from Shamayim against you. Someone will cause you pain the way you caused pain to someone else. Now this is of course all figuratively speaking, but on a higher level, we know that whatever we do, we receive an exact measurement keneged that action. It may not always be exact in the physical sense, but it could be felt in the emotional and spiritual sense. For example, the Torah HaKadosha discusses the law of the Eved Ivri. The person became an Eved because he stole something that didn't belong to him. Now, at the end of his servitude, when he's finished his sentence of being a slave, even though he now has a wife and children, they remain with his master and only the Eved is permitted to leave. Why? Chachamim teach us that it's a midah keneged midah. When the Eved stole, he didn't consider the feelings of the person whom he stole from. He didn't consider the effects that his stealing would have on the person that he stole from. Therefore, the Eved, whose cherished possessions are his wife and children, when he's ready to leave his master's home, those possessions are taken from him so that he can feel what it's like to have something precious taken away from him. And in so doing, the midah keneged midah serves as a therapeutic method by which the Eved now learns never to steal again. But when we analyze the words, I notice that we could define them in a different way. When a person has a character trait that's positive, then the reflection of that trait will most likely be a positive one, meaning that midah keneged midah can also mean a trait keneged a trait. I'll explain what that means. If you smile lovingly upon people, then most often they will smile back at you. So with this thought in mind, let's delve into two characteristic traits that we're all familiar with. They're traits that are considered to be dreadful and harmful, not only to the person who possesses them, but also for the person who's subject to them. The first midah is ka'as, anger. The second midah we're going to discuss today is kina, jealousy. These two midot are actually interconnected. So let's begin with the midah of ka'as. Anger is classified by our chachamim as a midah ra'ah. Just like there's a sickness of the body, anger is a sickness of the soul. It's a spiritual sickness. The Gemara of Nedarim says, Kol ha-ko'es, kol minei gehenam sholtim bo. He who becomes angry, all sorts of gehenam consume him and control him. How do we know this? Because in Sefer Kohelet, which was written by Shlomo HaMelech Alav HaShalom, it says, "V'haser ka'as melibecha v'haver ra'a mibesarecha." Do away with the anger in your heart and relinquish the evil from your flesh. "V'en ra'a ela gehenam." And there's no evil like that of Gehenam. These are very powerful words that need careful consideration, because the Gemara is telling us that as a result of a person becoming angry, even HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Shechina isn't important to that person at that moment. And therefore he forgets all the Torah that he learned and he begins to behave b'tipshut. He behaves foolishly. Let's analyze an angry person for a moment. We see people who, when they become angry and they hold on to that anger, they don't know what they're doing. They don't know what they're saying. They may even act in ways that they wouldn't have acted if they weren't angry. Why does this happen? Because anger removes from the person the ability to think clearly. And as a result, the anger carries you into a world of ugly words and terrible actions, and you end up in a machloket. Therefore, it should be very clear to you that a person cannot be saved from sins if he becomes angry. If you really want to know who a person truly is, you should observe him in a moment of anger. As a matter of fact, the Gemara of Eruvin states, "Beshlosha dvarim nikar ha'adam." There are three ways in which a person can be recognized. Ha'echad mehem beka'aso. One of those ways is through his anger. How so? How can we know who the person really is through his anger? Because when a person becomes angry, it's then that you could take notice as to how he deals with his anger. Does he give into his anger and defile his own state of humanity by saying and doing things that go against his very own chokhmah? Or does his wisdom, does his chokhmah control his anger and direct him towards a place of silence, which in turn calms him and causes him not to act in that angry moment? When you see a person giving into his anger, you could determine the strength of his character or his weakness. An angry person doesn't find chen in the eyes of the people around him. Therefore, his actions aren't always accepted, and that holds true, even if the person seems to have Torah and ma'asim tovim. According to our Chachamim, people cannot learn from an angry person. Even a person's household is affected by his anger, because as a result of his anger, the children and everyone who lives in the house begins to fear that person. And as you know, it's difficult to love a parent who's always in a state of anger because the child is always busy being afraid. As a result, the child feels alienated and distant from the parent. But even more than this, anger, even if it's a quiet anger, leads to strife and to machloket. And where there's anger, you'll always find kinah, jealousy. And where there's jealousy, there's hatred. The anger in a person prevents him from doing the right things. Even though his heart is screaming out for him to be careful, why does this happen to him? Chachamim tell us that when a person doesn't control his anger, en lo lev lerachem, he has no room in his heart for compassion. This is the opposite midah of Hashem, who is kel chanun verachum. Even when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is angry with us, it says, "Berogez rachem tiskor." Even when you're unhappy with us, Hashem, you remember to have compassion on us. Ladies, there's a fascinating piece of information concerning anger that's very frightening. We're told, "Haka'as mvatel kavanat ha'adam batfila." Anger cancels out all your intentions when you're praying. So you're sitting there reciting your Tehillim, Pirkei Shira, and deep down you have this inner kaas that's working against you. You think that your tefillot are being heard, but in actuality, they're being canceled out. A person who carries the anger inside him doesn't always act wisely. He speaks in a manner that's unclear, and that's why most people who hear him, even if they can hear him, they don't want to accept what he has to say because they realize where his words are coming from. His words aren't coming from a logical and sensible place, but rather from a fiery place, from his own distorted furnace. For this reason, Chachamim compare a person's anger to the fires of Gehenam. Because when a person begins to speak from a place of anger, the satan consumes him, and you could see in his eyes that the humanity in him has vanished. And that, my dear friends, is very frightening. Because a person who speaks from an angry place has no ability to surrender himself to the truth. That's why we often find that angry people scream out lies or half-truths in a moment of anger. At that moment, it should be clear to you that you're beginning to know who the person that stands before you really is. People whose anger controls them can cause so much damage in their lives. And you should know that standing before a person of this nature is like being near an Oved Avodah Zarah. How can we compare anger to Avodah Zarah, right? It's horrible. You see, a person's state of anger is simply a mirror reflection of the Yetzer Hara, whose ways this angry person is simply following. Because today the Yetzer Hara tells you, do this. Tomorrow he tells you, go to Avodah Zarah. And you listen to the Yetzer Hara like a tatale, even though you're committing a grave sin. And what sin is that? Lo yeh becha el zar. There shouldn't be in you a strange God. What strange God exists inside a person? Chachamim say, ze Yetzer Hara. The strange God in you is the Yetzer Hara who takes control over you when you're angry. It's interesting to note that sometimes the Yetzer Hara shows up to places that are filled with kedusha in order to cause us to sin. How does he manage to succeed? He does it by giving us a reason to become angry. For example, when a person is fasting, or when a person is in a dilemma of any kind, or when it's Friday afternoon and the house is upside down, what happens? The Yetzer Hara is present in your home trying to cause you to become angry. Why? So that the Kedusha will vanish, and instead Tumah would take its place. But why dafka does the Yetzer Hara attack us on Friday afternoon close to the Shabbat? Chachamim teach that it's precisely during this time on Erev Shabbat, all those years ago during the creation of the world, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the Malachim HaMazikim, the harmful and opposing angels. Hashem created them on Erev Shabbat. Therefore, it's during those hours on Erev Shabbat that these same malachim come back in order to cause more harm and devastation. So even though the house is upside down and things are flying on Erev Shabbat Kodesh, ladies, take a deep breath and remove the ka'as that might lay dormant inside of you, because that ka'as isn't there to make your Shabbat pleasant or comforting, that's for sure. For this reason, the rabbis gave us a suggestion that can prevent us from bowing our heads to this Yetzer Hara of anger. What's the suggestion? What's the solution? Shtika. Silence. If you can't keep quiet for those few moments and you feel the need to respond, then at least do so benachat uberoga, quietly and calmly. Because a person who raises his voice during an angry moment will be consumed by his own rage, and the Yetzer Hara will control him. But ladies, I want to tell you what the most dangerous form of ka'as is. This kind of anger is one that you have to steer clear from. You have to be careful from it, because it's not there to bring you mazal. It's not there to bring you bracha. What's the kind of ka'as that you should run away from and be careful from? It's the silent ka'as. What does that mean? There are people who walk around with an inner anger. It lies dormant inside them. They smile at you. They wish you the best. They seem like the sweetest people when you meet them. But deep down, there's a raging fire that's waiting to erupt. And oy, woe to the person who accidentally ignites that fire one day, because that fire will consume him. The silent killer of anger will destroy people and anything that gets in its way. But here's the clincher. Believe it or not, it gets worse. Because after this person has unleashed his dormant anger at you, after the satan is fuming in his eyes and speaking through his mouth and you're frightened to death by the person's inhumane appearance, what happens after that? He goes back to being his old cheerful self again, while you're left consumed by his ugly fire. Tell me, this is not frightening? But where does this type of dormant anger come from? And why does it erupt like a boiling volcano? Most of it stems from kina, from jealousy. Chachamim tell us that jealousy is merely a branch of anger. Unfortunately, this is the way of the world. A person sees his friend succeeding, sees that he's able to afford things he can't, whether it's food, clothing, a house, or the ability to give tzedakah, whatever the case may be. The friend looks on and thinks, if my friend has these items in life, I should also have them. Shlomo HaMelech Alav HaShalom warns us about this unwanted midah of jealousy. The midah stems from a problematic nefesh, and the Torah HaKdoshah warns us against it. Lo tachmod eshet re'echa v'chol asher le're'echa. You shall not covet your friend's wife, nor desire anything that is his. But why should we desire what another person has when we have our own lives to be happy with? And if we think our life is so awful that we need to refocus our own lenses and learn to accept the good that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us, we need to learn to connect HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a way that brings us to an awareness of what our life really looks like and how good it really is. A person who always desires what another person has is literally throwing his life back in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's face with such an arrogance, and he's telling Hashem, I'm not happy with the life you gave me. Give me my neighbor's life. Someone who desires what someone else has isn't happy or satisfied with what HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him. We could compare this to a servant who complains about his master, even though his master was good to him. So this servant is not an Eved Ne'eman. He's not a faithful, a loyal servant. Think about it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who's the master of all and who created us and knows everything about our lives, starting from point zero, which is a prior to our arrival here on earth, it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu who knows what's good for us. All of his ways are just, and therefore one should never doubt his plan. But when a person doesn't trust in Hashem, when he doesn't really believe that everything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him is for his benefit, and that it's the best package that he could receive, then this person becomes jealous. Jealousy often stems from a lack of emunah. And unfortunately, once a person is experiencing kina, that could lead to machloket. Chachamim tell us that just like kas is a sickness, and they say it's a sickness that if you pay close attention to it, you could actually recognize it on the faces of people as you speak with them. Watch them closely, and you'll see how their eyes change, how their face changes. And sadly, a person who's jealous eventually begins to hate the person he's jealous of. Why? For no reason. It's really sinat chinam. But it's the sinat chinam that's dependent on something. What does it depend on? It's dependent on what your friend has or doesn't have. If he has success, you're jealous. If he doesn't have success, oh, you're happy deep down. A father who was a Talmid Chacham once told his son, Al tekane be'achicha al asher yesh lo. Don't be jealous of what your brother possesses. Ki hu yin'am b'chayav ve'ata tizba de'aga v'tza'ar. Because he will have good in his life, but you'll be filled with worry and troubles. Lo nivra ha'mekane ela leka'as. The jealous one was created for the sole purpose of anger. You know how many ra'ot, how many evil occurrences are based on kina? The Nahash in Gan Eden began his scheming against mankind because of his jealousy. What was the end result? He brought death to the world. What happened when Cain allowed his jealousy to consume him? He brought the first murder into the world. And what about Korach's jealousy? What about Bilam, Doeg, Achitopel, Avshalom, Uziyahu, or Yerovam ben Nevat? All these people in history wanted things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't give them. And in the end, not only did they not receive what they desired, but even what they already had was taken away from them. From here we learn that to be jealous isn't worth it. Because bottom line, you have to remember that even what you already own doesn't belong to you. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, tomorrow it could be taken away from you. But HaChachamim inform us that jealousy could be positive, by the way, when it involves spiritual growth. What does that mean? In Sefer Mishle, we're told, Al yikaneh libcha b'chata'im. כאם ביראת השם כל היום. Do not be jealous of sins, but instead be jealous of having fear of Hashem all your days. Simply put, this is referring to what we call kinat sofrim tarbe chokhmah, which means that, let's say you see a person sitting and learning or going to a shiur, you should be jealous in a positive way and attempt to earn what that person has earned spiritually. You should say, oh yeah, I'm envious of that person that he takes the time to sit and to learn and to go to shiurim and learn Torah. Or if you see a friend doing a chesed, you are allowed to look on and be jealous in a positive way of his chesedim. That positive envy makes you go out there and accomplish good things. You just have to make sure that the jealousy comes from a pure place and that you have pure motives. Whenever you do something, ladies, look into your hearts and make sure that your actions or lack of them stem from a pure place. That means that even if it's jealousy, the jealousy has to come with the proper spiritual kavanot. If you see your friend engaging in acts of chesed and ma'asim tovim, and your jealousy isn't coming from a pure place, but rather it's coming simply from a place of negativity, and instead of doing something about your own neshama, instead of growing spiritually, you allow the negative energy to consume you, and you develop a negative jealousy of your friend's midot tovot and his ma'alot, then this type of kina is also a horrible one, and you should know that Chachamim compare it to someone who's a partner with Yerovam ben Nevat. And we already learned his story and his tragic end. Somebody who can allow himself to be consumed with jealousy and it causes him to engage himself in a moment of anger doesn't really fear Hashem. And the worst aspect of this dreadful kina, which then leads to anger, is that it leads the person to a place of gaava, arrogance. When a person allows the satan to control him in this moment of jealousy, which then turns to anger and hatred, you know what happens? First of all, we see the strength and the power of the satan. That's first of all. Secondly, the angry and jealous person loses a part of his humanity. He loses focus and he can't act compassionately. It's hard for him to tell the truth. Most of what an angry and jealous person says doesn't even make sense. And at often times, the person is completely irrational. And sometimes, when the Satan really gets a hold of you, you can chas v'shalom unleash the evil of the Satan on somebody else and bring destruction to that person's life and to yours. And by the way, if you believe in Ayin Ra'ah, then you should really be paying attention right now. Because Ayin Ra'ah doesn't only come from people you don't know who look at your life and have an unhealthy jealousy. Ladies, Ayin Hara can also come from those who are closest to you. Sometimes the ones who are closest to you can have a negative jealousy that snowballs into an angry moment. And then that person you held dear to you can burst with anger. But when that person bursts, you're left dead center affected by the fire, affected by the hatred, and you're affected by the negative energy floating all around you. And that's what we need to be wary of. Therefore, the refuah lamakah, the remedy before the ailment is siyag lechokhma shtika. And that doesn't only refer to keeping quiet during certain moments in life. Doesn't only mean being silent and not speaking lashon hara. It means that if you are smart, you should be quiet concerning certain aspects of your life. Not everybody has to know everything. Not everything needs to be shared at all times. Siyag lechokhma. Build for yourself fences of wisdom, ladies, and do so with shtika. Be wary of those who constantly want to know every aspect of your life. Be careful of people who have eyes in the back of their heads and ears all over their body. Be smart. Keep most things to yourselves. Don't volunteer information all the time. Ladies, we need to learn to be silent with certain aspects of our lives. Unless, of course, that person has proven to us through his midot tovot, through his sincerity and tzidkut that he really cares. Then, if you feel close enough, you have the right to include him. But even those inclusions should be limited. Friends don't have to know exactly how much you spent on an item, And even if they're your best friends, even if you if they have midot tovot, why put your friend in a situation where he may become jealous? If your husband buys you a gift, keep it quiet, shtika, ladies. You'll see that when we begin to apply this method of silence, we won't give anybody a reason to be jealous, to become angry, or inadvertently explode. Because anger and jealousy are really one and the same. Each stems from the same root. And even though we learned very little about the cause and effects of each one here in this class, but at least you learned enough to know that to be jealous is not what HaKadosh Baruch Hu demands of you. At least you know that when you become jealous, you're literally throwing your life in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's face. It's a form of kfui tov. This jealousy that exists in each of us has to be tempered and refined. It has to be directed and channeled towards a spiritual goal, like we mentioned earlier. And the same holds true of anger. Even anger can be directed towards a spiritual purpose. For example, if somebody speaks Lashon Hara, you should become angry with yourself that you allowed yourself to listen to it. And you should be angry at the person, and that anger should lead you to give that person a little bit of musar, a little tochacha, in a manner, of course, that is gentle and compassionate. But the point is, the anger can channel you to desire good things and to create a positive energy in the world. Of course, if you direct it towards a spiritual purpose. And jealousy could be good, like we said, when it's l'shem shamayim, not l'shem enayim, not l'shem kapayim. Trust me when I tell you, siag l'chokhma shtika. Your silence can prevent people from becoming jealous and angry. And eventually, when they realize that you're not always volunteering information, believe me, they're going to be bored by you and they're not going to ask so many questions. I want to end with the famous words of the Ramban, ladies. These are the beautiful words of the letter, the Igeret, that the Ramban sent his son. I'm going to read you just an excerpt, and as we read it, I'm going to translate it. Such beautiful words and a lesson to us all. The Ramban writes, Shema beni musar avicha ve'al titosh torat imecha. Listen, my son, to the thought of your father, and do not forsake the teaching of your mother. Titnaheg tamid ledaber kol dvarecha benachat. לכל אדם ובכל עת, ובזה תנצל מן הכעס, שהיא מידה רעה להחתי בני אדם. וכן אמרו רבותינו זיכרונם לברכה, כל הכועס, כל מיני גהנם שולטים בו, שנאמר, והסר כעס מליבך, והעבר רעה מבשריך, ואין רעה אלא גהנם. You should accustom yourself to always speak all of your words calmly to every man and at every time. In doing so, you will prevent your anger from flaring, which is a bad attribute in a man which may cause him to sin. And accordingly, said our rabbis, anyone who gets angry, all kinds of Gehenam hold sway over him, as it states, and remove the anger from your heart, and take away the evil from your flesh. And bad, evil, can only mean Gehenam. V'cha'asher tinatzel min ha'ka'as, ta'ale al libcha midat ha'anava, shehi midat tova mikol midot tovot, shene'emar, ekev anava, yirat Hashem. When you will have freed yourself from anger, the quality of humility will enter your heart, which is the best of all good traits, as it is written, before humility, there is fear of God. Uva'avur ha'anava, ta'ale al libcha midat ha'ira. Ki titen el libcha tamid, me'ayin bata, ule'an ata holech, v'she'ata rima v'tole'a b'chayecha, v'af ki b'motcha. V'lifnei mi ata atid, liten din v'cheshbon, lifnei melech ha'kavod, shene'emar, הנה שמיים ושמי השמיים לא יחלקלוך, אף כי ליבות בני אדם. The Ramban says, through humility you will also come to fear God. It will cause you to always think about where you came from and where you're going, and that while alive You're only a maggot and a worm, as after death, and before whom you will eventually stand in judgment, in front of the glorious King, as it is written, even the heaven and the heavens of heaven cannot contain you, how much less the hearts of people. Amazing words, and this is just an excerpt of the amazing lessons of the Ramban to his son. Let it be that we heed the words of the Ramban. We should remain calm people from within as well as from the outside. We should be careful not to carry a hidden anger which can expose our terrible traits and bad patterns of thinking. We should control our anger, which can lead us to act and say things that are inhumane and are within the realm of the Satan. We should strive to be happy with our lot, and in so doing, we may be able to remove the negative jealousy from our hearts and be able to love our fellow Jews as we should. And when we do this, Be'ezat Hashem, we'll create inside of us the attribute of modesty and refinement, and we'll be role models for the rest of the world and be Jews that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can be proud of. Amen, ken, Yehi Ratzon.